Hi, welcome to GamerCast, episode 137. Hi, I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul, and this is GamerCast for the 2nd of November. So that's cool. Right, let's crack on with the letters. We're not joined by Chris this week because he's in Belgium.
Belgium?
So yeah,
it's the Belgians.
Was he on last week? He was, because we did WoW. No, wasn't he?
No,
he wasn't, because we did WoW, but he wasn't here the day we did WoW. And it's, yeah. That's like his, you know.
When he was here when we were going to do WoW, he dragged you into a raid.
Yeah. Right, letters, let's have a look. Oh, we got something from this Alex G dude. Oh, did we read this out?
No, we missed the letters last week.
Ah, yeah, right, cool. So we got a couple of letters this week. This is from D3 Comp, who I think we've had a letter from before. He says, "Dear Paul and Adam," notice he puts my name first, "I was wondering what your most anticipated games of this holiday season are. And in addition, what are your feelings on the collector's edition games?"
Right, well...
Well, my anticipated games, Fable 2, already out. Gears of War, out in a minute. Well, on Friday. What else? That's about it.
Where, as we said last week, mine was kind of Fable 2, Fallout 3, and...
Wrath of the Lich King!
Well, yeah, Wrath of the Lich King, but that's just an update.
Hey, man. It's so important.
An expensive update.
It's so important, it's marked on our rota. Yeah. There's nothing, no other games marked on the rota, but Lich King.
Lich King. And Little Big Planet. But since last week, I've also come across a game that I saw a miniature review on some screenshots and wasn't sure the hell it was on about, but it looked cool, so I put it on my list. And there's a demo and I'm going to talk about it later, but that's Mirror's Edge.
It's on the show notes already.
Yep. And also I started looking into Far Cry 2, so some other things got added on there. But Collector's Edition, I must admit, the only ones I'm really aware of that I pay any attention to are the ones that are like Morrowind and Oblivion Collector's Edition, and I imagine there'll probably be a Fallout Collector's Edition.
I quite often buy Collector's Edition.
Actually, no. Sorry, I'm thinking Game of the Year Edition. It's because they were on. I'm thinking Game of the Year because of the Golden Joystick Award that only just happened. Oh yeah, Collector's Editions. Yeah, so Collector's Editions where you come with the.
You get the game and a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, sometimes it's pretty lame. You get like this groovy map, or you get.
Well, Far Cry's quite good. You get a T-shirt and map and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, sometimes, well, you get the map with the standard edition.
Oh, maybe you get a bigger map.
Yeah. Sometimes it's good. It's like I had the Ultimate Collector's Edition of Half-Life 2, and that gave me a few extra bits and bobs, but I got, like, it came in this cool tin, but I got a T-shirt, and I have a Half-Life 2 T-shirt, which I wear quite a lot, which I thought was quite cool. So it depends what's actually in there. Sometimes they just give you a DVD with some extra bits.
Yeah, I must admit, I never, you know, they always come with like a making of DVD or something. I never watch anything like that.
I watched the making of DVD that came in my collector's edition of Burning Crusade. I found that quite interesting because they go in depth of the game development. Sometimes it's
basically
so
they
lame.
They have 1,000 monkeys on 1,000 typewriters.
Yeah,
and eventually they come up with
something
comprehensible.
But
so yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much it game wise for this year. I mean, it's Call of Duty and. Things like that as well.
There are plenty of other ones for the latter quarter of this year, because obviously we're into the October-November rush of the first titles to start speeding up the process, ready for Christmas. Then you've got the next ladder of stuff that's coming out mid-November to December. Then you've got the Christmas titles, the ones that you're going to have to wait till the last minute to get before Christmas. And then then obviously some of those will regurgitate themselves into January sale, and then after January sale you've got your next lot of the new 2009 games. Like the upcoming game I'm waiting for 2009 will be on the Xbox 360, and that's Skate 2, and I am psyched for that game. But bar that, I'm not looking any further past. At the moment we're in October to Christmas period of the games released here.
Dude, so. We're in November.
I know, but we've had the October ones so far. We're now getting into the November ones.
Like reading that one out. So we got this thing from this Alex G dude. I don't know what his problem is. I think he's got something wrong with his brain or something. But he says, I know where Leroy Jenkins is. He is on a USA server, Laughing Skull. Nah, nah. I plotted him out of my something or other. Trying to read. So yeah, I'm not going to read any more letters from this guy because it's scary, man. I think it's like Falthor or Hunts or somebody from the guild. I don't know. Okay, so this is from Catherine. She says, I played Little Big Planet in the Oxford Street HMV on Friday the 24th. It was actually so much more fun than I imagined it would be. The customization is really awesome, too.
I know. From the way that the game looks, it's just like a playground to do what you want. I think people who are too structured-minded will complete the game and then think...
Meh? Is that it?
Yeah.
Because they won't get in-depth with
the
play.
Where the idea of the game is the fact that they didn't build any levels for you to do. What they did was they built this game. And
sounds like a way of not having to hire any level designers to make.
Yeah, and they got
a way to put people like me. The only thing I can actually do out of a job.
They made the game, and then they said, "Right, now make some levels using the game editor for the game to show people that this is what's possible, or a different plethora of styles and genre of the backgrounds and how quirky you can get, and still let you edit as you go along with stickers and stuff like that." So. Yeah, I think it's a good way of showing that you could just sit there and play for ages. I am very curious to see if there's going to be anything done a bit like Red versus Blue using this. Just with the way that everything works and stuff.
Meh, maybe, whatever. So yeah, you can leave us feedback too at gamercast.net.
Yeah.
Which is our website.
Cha-ching.
Right, anyway, let's crack on. Let's start off with we'll get the bad stuff out of the way first. EA lay off 6% of their workforce. That's about, I don't know, 500-600 people or something.
Did they say, is it in general EA or a particular part?
EA globally.
So they
hope to trim 50 million per year off their costs. That's $50 million.
Now, you have to realize that EA does hold a lot of staff because there's a lot of EA companies for all the different plots all the way across. You know, like, I went and saw one of the EAs that are in Vancouver in Canada, and there were two there. You know, we got them here, there's the EA here, EA there. You know, they're all over the place.
EA is a fairly big company.
Same with Ubisoft. Ubisoft has Ubisoft in France, Ubisoft
in Ubisoft are number two now, aren't they?
Yeah, so... They're broad in there.
Right. I just call it Ubisoft.
Ubisoft.
Ubisoft. Say it right, you silly boy. Despite a significant sales hike of 40%, losses totaled $310 million. So more than in the same quarter last year, so they're just going to shed it on. You know, it's perfect time to do it. Let's blame the global economic turndown and just get rid of some of our workers.
Yeah.
We'll just blame it on that. It's not the fact that EA suck or anything like that. So that's nice. Mirror's Edge demo is also up on Xbox Live Marketplace.
Which is actually an EA game.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize until the opening bit came up.
Well,
it's done by Dice.
They only publish it, don't they?
Yeah, it's done by Dice. Yeah, that was quite good. Available on Xbox Live download and PlayStation Network.
PlayStation what?
Network.
What's that?
That's the store.
Oh, the thing that nobody uses. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Tomb Raider Underworld is also on Xbox 360 Live Marketplace, whatever it's called.
Yep.
That's cool. PC demo has also been released. Mm-hmm. I take it it's a Games for Windows title as well.
I would imagine so. The last one was the remake of the original game.
So that's cool. I won't be buying it because I don't really like games like that, but never mind. I was going to say something, what was it? No, it's gone. It's gone, dude.
Never mind.
It's not there anymore.
So, do you want me to talk about those demos?
That's what I was waiting for.
Right, so we start Tomb Raider. plays very similar to the last two Tomb Raider titles that came
out.
They
all play the flipping same.
So if you got on them, okay, because obviously since the one that we brought on the Xbox, they'd rehashed all of the control system to make it much more fluid on how she was controlled, the whole ability to turn around and hold on to a cliff face and look at the next object and move to it. So yeah, same system. They haven't mucked around with anything. It's pretty much the same thing with the magnetic grappling hook. I don't know if this... I've never played the one that was the remake of the original. I've only played the one before. But they've still got the light, but you also have the ability to have like this little camera you pull out, and you've got this camera that you use. So instead of having binoculars, you've got this camera that you're filming and you look around. And it's got this kind of sonic thing, because it's all about underwater, sort of underworld this one is about. So you've got this sonic thing that pulls out a sonic map, so you know the map only goes so far.
Sonar.
Yeah, sonar sort of thing.
I was thinking cool. Sonic? What, is there a blue hedgehog running around?
Yeah, a little mini game on a PDA. Yeah, and they've got a dual hint system where it's two questions and you pick which one you want. So if you just want a little nudge in the right direction, it kind of tells you where you should be going, but she asks herself a question and answers it in her own voice sort of thing, and kind of helps you keep...
So in other words, she talks to herself.
Yeah, just kind of reiterating where she should be doing, what she should be achieving. But yeah, it plays really well. Like you jump off the boat and you're swimming through the water sort of thing. And
this website is really terrible. Let's get off of it.
But yeah, there's some new mechanics in the climbing and stuff like that, which is quite good. I must admit, I'm quite impressed with it. I wasn't too bit wary of the last one for the fact that it's a remake. The game was only so long. And I never got a chance to play the other one because I had an Xbox failure, and by the time I got hold of it, there were other amazing, better games out than that. I'm still not sure if I'll be getting it because it's coming out when there's lots of other decent games out that I probably will want more.
That's the trouble,
so
isn't it?
I won't be surprised. I will probably revisit this game when it's in budget next year. So early next year, when we quieten down on release titles and there ain't much else I need to get. But yeah, pretty good. Also had a go on End War.
On Ghost Recon. Is that it? Ghost Recon?
No, it's End War by Tom Clancy. So it's a...
So they're not branding it like Ghost Recon?
No, it's
Tom Clancy's
End War.
Clandy. That's a much better name.
It's very, very bizarre for an RTS. It really plays on the fact
It's really bizarre for an RTS? Because it's a first-person shooter. Oh, just kidding.
No, I
don't know, how's it bizarre, dude? What is it, like cannon fodder?
Well, you know, like, RTS is your camera's above, and if you want, you can do the annoying thing and start moving the camera around, but normally you don't bother, you just leave the camera where it is.
Unless it's Supreme Commander. Zoom in and out.
This camera is like a third-person camera locked to the unit, and you can flick from unit
to
unit.
Oh, so it plays like that game. There was another like strategy game released fairly recently.
But sometimes you can find yourself lost with the fact that you can still control all the other units. So you can be the helicopter flying along, and you can look somewhere, tab across the D-pad, and say, right, that unit go there. So that unit can go there. You look at something and go attack that. But if you want to go to that view, you have to lock onto the target, and then push a button to zoom across to arrive at it. And sometimes I'm like, I've got to hit the target, got to hit
it. Can you not have a free roaming camera? Is it always locked to a target?
Yeah, I think so. And it's got voice commands as well. So you say,
Roger.
Unit 1, attack, da 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 da, tanks, fall out, sort of thing.
And then they go off and attack some civilians. Great!
Yeah. It seems like a weird way of trying to advance RTS without... It just didn't feel right. I must admit, a lot of RTS people will probably... either get onto this really quickly, but then again, I'm not sure if this is out on the PC. If it's out on the PC, it might play better with a mouse and having more shortcuts, but I'm not sure if it's just a console version.
We've had the ability to lock cameras on units since like Command & Conquer Red Alert.
But to have
nobody uses it for a reason, because it sucks.
But this is just a bit bizarre. I don't know if this is something that's been designed because they want to make it more an intuitive way of controlling an RTS game.
They obviously tried to make it something a bit different that, you know, the third person people would like get because the camera's fixed to your character.
Yeah, and you have like a donut that you slide in a bit closer, then you can come further away, rotate round, move away from it a little bit, and you can kind of turn the camera around a little bit. You're not always got the point of view. So if you're on the helicopters, you don't always look at the helicopter. So if the helicopter's there, you can move to the left of the helicopter, but you can do a 180, so you're away, so the camera's backed up against the helicopter, so you can look over to the left.
Well, I suppose it does have some interesting points, though, because in real-time strategy games, you always have the fog of war.
Yeah.
The fog of war is implemented in this game by tying the camera to a specific unit.
Yeah, and you can only jump from unit to unit to unit if you can see it. If you move a unit too far away, I don't even know if the camera will jump to it. You might have to actually just about lock on and then it will jump across. But that limits your view of what you can see because you can only go where the units
go. So I think you know, when they sat down and tried to design it, they would have said, okay, fog of war, nobody really gets it. My dad doesn't get the fog of war. Yeah. He thinks that the computer or me or whoever is cheating when our units disappear into the fog of war.
Yeah.
You know, so
it's because you're not actually being able to see. You can see the map, but you can't see where the units are. This is playing off the fact of the actual visual of the horizon. As the units get further and smaller away, you just can't see them unless they get up on radar. One thing that was quite cool is that when you got inside a building, you were taking over the building, the team would come back out and they would scooch up behind the wall outside this building and they'd start taking up different positions. But a little screen would come up on the top left-hand corner showing that squad in like a CGI representation running in and hacking into this thing, taking over, scoping out the whole site.
What? You take over a building by hacking into it?
Well, no, they go
dude,
in.
If I'm going to take over a building, you just go in there.
Well, they're going in, guns, checking everywhere, but then they're all getting on the computers.
Then they have to go on a computer to change the building's alliance. Back in my day, boy, we had flags.
Yeah.
We would raise a flag.
And then the colour of the building would change. And a new building and some gun turrets would miraculously come out of the ground. Yeah, it's just...
It's like real life.
I definitely say if you're an RTS fan, if you're a... console RTS
fan. If you're an RTS fan who's a little bored with the genre and wants to try a slight variation on it, give it a look, because Red Alert 3 sucks.
If you're a RTS fan and you've just got into them on the console and you just don't have a PC, but you do like them and you've gone for like Supreme Commander that's just come out on Xbox and
Supreme Commander
and loads of other ones that have been out, this may take to your flavor of being able to finally be able to control it better. For something, if you're going to do an RTS, I must admit, it is very controllable. I suppose the problem is, I've never played a game like that. I was a bit kind of juddery of where to go. And I must admit, I didn't read the instructions at the beginning. I just skipped that because I was trying to play it quick. But I picked it up pretty quickly. So this might work. It just might take some time to get used to before you can really get into it. Look-wise, graphically, looks really nice. Really nice units in there as well. So, yeah, I must admit, I'm quite impressed. But just as a hardcore PC RTS fan, I was just kind of like, whoa, okay, should we be calling this an RTS? Whoa, what are you doing? But yeah, I would definitely say...
Well, let's face it, a lot of real-time strategy games don't have that much strategy, do they?
No. So...
Yeah, you've got units and you drive them to this position.
I might have to replay this when I've got some time to just do it a bit at a time sort of thing. I would definitely say check it out. But I really would say don't just look at pictures, don't just look at quality of what the game looks like graphically and what reviews say. This is probably one of those games you're going to have to try it for yourself, because it's all about the gameplay. This gameplay mechanic will either work with you or it won't. This stuff's like Marmite. You're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. So it's a definite go out there and try
Marmite
it.
Marmite breadsticks.
Marmite breadsticks.
They're disgusting.
Why are they on your desk? Throw them away.
I don't know, dude. My sister brought them here as a present. And I thought, okay, whatever, I'll eat those. I had a couple of them, and it's like, these don't taste very nice.
Do you like Marmite?
Yeah. But the breadsticks, don't buy them. They scored 2 out of 5 in my review.
Not a decent gaming snack.
Mirror's Edge.
I'll say one thing. First,
it doesn't have any mirrors in it, but it does have some edges.
First person video game development, need to look at this game and take a clue from it, because this is the first time I've ever been able to look down at the floor and see a full scaled animated body on a first person game that actually looks really good. I've seen some where you just see the body and it's a pair of legs, but this
crisis
actually really
crisis.
I've not. You've never looked down in crisis.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Next time, look down so I can see what it looks like. But yeah, because your hands are moving everywhere. Because you, there is points where you get a gun and you can shoot with it. But most of the time, you'll grab the gun and straight away you'll drop the magazine, detach the bullet, pull the gun apart, throw it away so the person can't pick it up again, and then you knock them out. The game is kind of like a, you know, the whole, you know, Big Brother taking over the cities, putting cameras everywhere. Everything's got to be neat and
like look. The UK already.
Yeah, it's about the city changing like that. And the character you play is this group of people who call themselves runners. They're like messenger people, but they do free running across rooftops. Because
dude,
the man who's trying to stop
dude,
anybody who doesn't want to go the way they got thrown in jail.
Adam. Right, why don't they just wear a mask? Because then the cameras can't see who you are.
Well, basically it's about these free runners, and the whole game is based off free running.
Seemed to me like they wanted to have a game about free running.
And made up a story.
But they made up this really lame story to go with it.
I'd definitely say try the demo, because it explains it better than I can explain.
Tony Hawk's tries free running, and he sucks.
But the control system is very intuitive.
That's what they should have done. They should have licensed Tony Hawk's to do it. And he has his skateboard, and the intro video is him nutting his skateboard in that house.
I'm going to do it without a skateboard. Bring on the hard pack. But yeah, control system wise, I was barely using any of the buttons. It was just pure first person, really nice smooth running. The environment really gives a sense of vertigo. If you fall off, it's not like, ooh, you died.
Oh, dull.
They actually made the level all the way down to the bottom. So if you fall, you'll hear the whoosh of the material of your clothing waving through the air.
Dude.
And you just try and grab hold of stuff, and then you're and then poof, you'll hit the ground.
Combat Flight Simulator. You know, we've had it before.
Yeah, but this,
you know, when you've got a bullet penetrate your cockpit, you know, you hear the wind rush in and it's quite nice.
But yeah, this really, really nice.
But just don't get too many bullets in you, because
otherwise
you'll be in trouble.
Left shoulder button is for jump. Left trigger is to crouch. So you use that hand there for the up and down to get over stuff.
I don't like that. I'll tell you what, that would annoy me after a while. What are they doing with A? A would naturally be jump for me, or the right trigger.
You might be able to change it and customise the keys. Right trigger.
Yeah, but then everyone would be confused because we'd all be using different keys.
Right trigger is for attack.
Alright. Right trigger attack makes sense.
Y is for disarm.
Y disarm, yeah, that's doable.
And
I'll tell you what, I'll just download it myself.
Right shoulder is 180 turn. But yeah, the way that it moves, you really flow. You feel like you're running. It's not like
it did in the video. It looked really smooth, and you know,
it plays like it looks. It you know, like you get these bounce. Where you got the bounce on, and you kind of like, yeah, let's just turn that up and go to classic ice skating mode. This really does feel proper running, and you've got to time your jumps as well. Because when you come down, if you don't hold the left trigger in, at the right point,
break your legs.
You land on your ankles, and you can hurt yourself pretty badly. But this one, you'll do a forward roll, and the camera will roll around. So you'll see your legs go up, you'll see a flash of the ground, flash of the sky, and then you come back up. You're a bit disorientated, and then you run. They've color coded the environment so that you're seeing the items that are red, and they are where the key points to aim for. And the idea is, it's running off something that is used in snowboarding called the flow, where you're just flowing your maneuvers together, so you're not stopping and starting. I did it when I used to do skateboard and rollerblade, and you just find that line where you're just constantly moving and moving and moving. And this is what this allows you to do. You'll see this red box and your spring box over the top of it. You're running along, and you'll see this massive gap between you and the next skyscraper, and you'll see a pipe going across, and it's red. So you run on it, you'll have to balance across using the analog stick to keep your balance up, and then you'll come along, and then you'll wall run up a wall, land on this bit.
Dude, that's so unrealistic. How can you run up a 20-story building?
You don't run up the 20-story building. You're just this little wall to get over a gap.
Oh, right, okay. Just these little noobs.
And then you
use... They can't do it. Dude, are they not epic enough to be able to do it?
No.
Spider-Man could. Superman could as well.
But the environment...
I'll tell you what, Batman would have a good go at it as well.
Nah, when he'd use his battering.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. He'd have a go at it, wouldn't he?
Wrap it around his belt. But, yeah, graphically, it's doing itself
Indiana Jones would just take the stairs.
Yeah.
I was screwed at. And then you just got my whip, punch Batman.
My whip won't do that. But yeah, graphically, they are doing themselves 1,001 favours with the way that the character, the environment looks. It does look
they,
nice.
I mean, they would have to really work on the animation for the character, because that is such an obvious thing to work on for the game, isn't it?
Music is really nice. And they've done a really weird thing for the demo. The demo is basically one tiny little mission, the first part of it, from the beginning. So it's just the first bit. The training to teach you how so you actually get a feel of where everything, because you won't use it all from the training, because obviously you only go so far into it, but it kind of gives you a scope of what's capable with it. And then afterwards there's also races, so you've got time trials to be able to get from A to B as quick as you can across these buildings, but it's locked. What they've done is you've got to have a registry code from EA to unlock this part of the game. And that is part of the pre-order. So, you know, like when you pre-order and they go, oh, we'll give you this little key ring, or we'll give you a stupid hat that will only fit a five-year-old. What they're doing is when you anywhere where you can pre-order this game, straight away they'll give you this code and it unlocks parts of the demo. So you've got an exclusive to play with this demo, and all of your times get loaded onto the network so you can race against your mates and say, oh, well, I got this time. Otherwise, you just wait for the game to come out, and if you buy it normally, you'll have all of this as part of the game.
Alright, so that sounds fun.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get it.
Yeah, I'll check out the demo. I might check out End War as well. I won't download Tomb Raider. Right.
No, I don't think you...
Okay, so there's been some screenshots released for the Dead Rising version on the Wii. Two words.
Alright, I got a best way of describing it, okay? If you've ever played Dead Rising on the Xbox 360 and you're going along and you just see a sea of these zombies and you're seeing these tiny little ponds of spaces with a little walkway between you, imagine those spaces where you're allowed to go without getting attacked by a zombie. Now imagine a few zombies stood there and a few zombies stood in all of these spaces where you want to walk, and then when the zombies are, take them away. And that's Dead Rising on the Wii. Just a few over there, a few over there. I think that's the best way.
I was going to say lol, oh my god, but I realised that if you actually say oh my god, it's three words.
Yeah.
And lol is, well, that's three words as well.
Yeah.
Okay, lol, OMG. Right, basically, there's no zombies in this game. So Dead Rising on the Xbox 360, for example, you know, you go into a room or like into the like general whatever, there are zombies everywhere. In the Wii, there's just three. Yeah, they're just free. Oh god, what a joke.
I imagine they can only handle so many zombies per rendering of area. So once you kill them, you walk around the corner, it's kind of like when they made the film Aliens, the sequel, where there were loads and loads of aliens.
Yeah.
There were actually only six acrobats in the suits. And if you saw, and the six of them came on shot there, and they span round, and then there was loads behind it, they actually stopped the footage part way around, spinning cutting the camera to look the other direction, and all the guys got moved over to the other side of the set and they were over there. And that's what this game probably going to feel like, where it's the same zombies and they're just like, oh, I'm dead now, I better get over to that side of the coffee shop ready for when he walks around and sees us again.
Yeah.
Obviously the Wii is not the power to handle this game.
When they first announced Dead Rising on the Wii, we all knew it was going to suck.
Yeah.
Because what's the point in having that's the whole point of the game.
Was the mass of zombies. It was kind of recreated.
Because the game hasn't got anything else.
No, it is about just finding anything that is not nailed down is a weapon. There's a weird storyline. You unlock things. You can play the game several times to unlock more and more of the story of what the hell is going on. Level up your character as you go along and kill zombies constantly. You know, I spent an entire afternoon with my mate, stood in the sports section,
just smacking zombies.
Waiting for the queue, getting the zombies
waiting for
to come
the queue
up.
To come up so yeah. I could sell them my sports products.
We were getting them and they were like slowly coming up the stairs, and as they got up to the stairs we'd run to the end and we had all these bowling balls and we were throwing bowling balls and bowling zombies. You know,
the screenshot they've got here, it shows the dude, what's his name?
I can't remember.
Photographer. Yeah, the photographer dude. He's got a fire extinguisher and he's using it against three zombies. And there's nothing else there.
And the screenshot says 10 killed.
Yeah. So obviously he's quite hardcore.
Yeah.
Because he's been playing for about 6 hours. He's only come across 10 zombies.
It's going for the whole creepy, there's nothing here, and then a zombie jumps out and gets you.
That's what they should do. They should just have one super powerful zombie which follows you around.
Yeah.
And you can't kill him.
But, yeah.
So yeah, a bit of a joke. They should have, obviously, you know, we wouldn't expect the Wii to do a lot like this, but they should, I mean, I don't know why they bothered releasing it, to be honest.
Well, come on. Doing a platform crossover. Okay, if you did a platform crossover from Wii, you know, say for example, say Nintendo said, fine, Xbox, we're going to do a bit of a deal. Here, have a copy of Mario Party or something for Xbox Live or something like that on download. It cost a load, but it was a download thing. It would look great, and you could probably do a little bit of tweaks to the graphics. But to go in reverse, okay, it was an old game for the Xbox 360, but it's still an Xbox 360 title. To try and reverse engineer that straight onto the Wii.
Well, obviously, a lot of it was built from the ground up on it.
Yeah, they have to redo everything, but I would have said, screw the graphics, just make it look really cartoony and then have shitloads of zombies. That would have been the best way.
Yeah, Wii probably doesn't do enough polygons to do it.
Maybe it's down to the fact that they didn't want to overwhelm the player.
They should have just used, like, sprites. Like, old school. Maybe the Wii could have coped with a few more of those. But anyway, there's some really dumb comments that some fanboys posted on this thread. There's this dude here called Shingo X. He says, please... It still has around 3 months before release. It's a port, and many games take 6 months to make from start to finish. Yet you're whining about not seeing enough zombies. You honestly think that in 3 months won't make a difference in a port? Come on. What planet is this dude? 6 months to make a game? 6 months to make a game, dude. Educate this man.
I wish.
Peter Molyneux, is Fable 3 out in April? It's not. What do you mean it's not? The games take 6 months to make. Oh my god, Peter, you suck. Oh, but yeah, he also says it still has 3 months until release. 3 months? What are they going to do with it? 1 month is going to be manufacturing the goddamn disc. So that means it needs to be done in 2 months. And they're going to be working on bugs. They're not going to be quadrupling the amount of zombies.
Game is finished. They're just doing bugs.
You know, they're just doing the last bit of polish. Unless there's a bug where the zombies are invisible, but they're still really there.
Those three zombies. Something's eating me. The wall's eating me.
Why is this funny noise coming from behind me? Oh, it's an invisible zombie. I mean, God, what a retard. That's the trouble with the internet. You get so many idiots who don't know anything. Oh, yeah. Somebody does, however, mention the solution. Here's the solution. Save yourselves $50-odd, save up $150, and buy a 360. Seriously, you can get Dead Rising for $20 or $30 now. That's a point. 360, cheaper than the Wii. Yeah, anyway.
Has the arcade gone cheaper than a Wii now?
Dude, the premium's cheaper than a Wii. The arcade is £130, the premium is £170. It's been like that for like a month, whenever the price drop was.
Jeez. Yeah, go buy.
Dude, there's a reason the PS3 ain't selling. It's because you can get two Xbox 360s for the price of it.
Yeah.
Seriously, two. Seriously, an Xbox 360 Premium and an Xbox 360 Arcade for the price of a PS3.
I must admit, the only reason...
And with the PS3, you get one free game. With the other consoles, you can have four free games. But, I mean, even at the moment, 360, at least in my little store, which we won't mention, the 360 is outside of the Wii. It's a lot of the stupid arcade packages.
A point I want to put out, because I don't want to miss this, because I'll forget. Because obviously I want to get Fallout 3. I've been looking at some reviews, and if you are like me and you own a PlayStation 3 and an Xbox 360, this is one of those games where...
You have to buy the 360 version.
No, you have to buy the Xbox 360 version. It's not like the Xbox 360 version looks slightly better or it looks amazingly better. It looks a bit better, but oh my god, graphically, does the PlayStation 3 has got serious bugs. It's got issues. It's got a cold. It's just going to sneeze over your face. It's not worth. It's not worth it. You can get the Xbox 360 version. Fair enough, PC version much better, but the Xbox 360 version has a few technical glitches on graphics, no different than Oblivion sort of thing. You forget them. You lose them.
And the animation's crap. It is Bethesda.
Yeah, but. Yeah,
Does the game play in first person mode or third person by default?
To be honest, that's something I'm still trying to work out, because Oblivion was first person and you could go to third person, but this keeps showing third person all the time, which makes me think they've locked out first person, so it's not a first person game.
Nah, it must be. That'd be dumb, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because
Bethesda always have a toggle.
Yeah, they better do, because I don't want to look at that guy ice skating everywhere.
Fallout 3 is first person by default.
Yes.
According to my source here, which is Catherine,
I think that's a good idea, because
can zoom out with mouse wheel.
Sweet. Yeah. Cool.
Now let's get on to the geek stuff. So for my geek nerds out there who like Worldwide Telescope, a new build has been released. This is the autumn beta version. It's got a couple of new features. It's actually starting up. Yeah, the new feature is... here it goes. So it's got a 3D solar system view. So Adam, you're familiar with this application.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's got a whole, like, you know... I suppose the simplest way to say it would be Google Sky, only 100 times better.
Yeah.
So, you know... It looks brilliant. It's smoothly panned. Let's get this thing in my way. But it's also got like a 3D solar system mode now, which is cool. And you can, you know, so it does the same sort of thing that Celestia does now, where you can like zoom out to the whole galaxy and whatever. Get that off.
So not going into detail, but basically putting the dots in their perspective colours and dimensions, just to give a sense of where you would be if you moved in and zoomed in and out.
Yeah, and you've got 3D views of all planets. However, it isn't to scale in this mode, obviously. Also got some, there's like new sky surveys, there's the new they've got some panoramas from like the Phoenix lander on Mars and things like that. There you go. So that's cool.
Mars. Martian rocks.
Opportunity. So yeah, Robot Telescope fans, check that out. It should automatically download automatically, I think. But maybe it doesn't.
Cool.
Here's one I pre-downloaded earlier. So you know, you can zoom right in and check the stuff out.
It's really weird thinking it does just look like Red Planet, where they just put a filter on for the whole footage to make it look like they were there and they were in some place in America, but obviously it looks like that. But to actually look at that and think, this is not actually Earth, it's not a set, that's actually rocks on another planet.
Because, you know, when you see the pictures by themselves, it doesn't really do it justice. But when you can, you know, look around,
yeah,
you know, you can see the, you know, the mountains on the horizon.
It seems weird to actually look at something and think, that's actually another planet.
And look at that and say, that's a piece of kit we made here on Earth. Oh, look at these solar panels.
Solar panels.
Oh, look at this, it's a Martian. Microbes. So that's cool. You know, I don't know why. I always hear people go, oh, Google's guy's really cool, but, you know, just download Worldwide Telescope, which can be downloaded at worldwidetelescope.org.
I think it's quite cool that we're getting to the point where things like this will just be, you know.
Oh, they've even got Apollo from the Apollo sites as well.
You know,
of course, all these have been faked. Of course, and they had crappy cameras back then, didn't they? Oh, look, that's that like really famous picture, but now it's in the whole, you know, panorama. Well, there's an American flag.
But
There's a zombie. That's where all the Dead Rising zombies are. They're on the moon. Oh, that'd be so awesome. Dead Rising 2.
On the moon.
Based on the moon. There's some dude there.
On the lander.
He's goofing around with his spaceship. Oh my god, you idiot! I told you not to unhook the fuel valve! God damn it, Buzz! Right, let's get that crap off there. Let's get rid of that. Right, next up, Far Cry 2.
Yep.
We're back to gaming land.
Picked up a copy of Far Cry 2 on PlayStation 3. Basically.
My PS3 version!
Right.
Slap!
Here's some rules, okay?
Here's some rules. One, tell me what to buy. Two, shut up.
If you have a high-end PC, you buy this on the PC, no matter what. Even if you're thinking, I could get it on the Xbox and I can play on my mates.
Get your mates on the PC.
Buy it on the PC. Get it on the Xbox, cheap, at a later date. If you have a PC and you know that you will actually have to turn the graphics down, whoa, laddie. Unless you only own a PC, don't bother. It will look better on the Xbox. And play better. So,
do you like my wallpaper?
Yeah, that's quite nice. Is that a golf course somewhere?
What it reminded me of was the Barons from World of Warcraft. Like, that's how the Barons would look if it was real life.
Basically you've got 50 kilometers square of sandbox, first person, running around. If you want to, you could ignore everything and just run around and shoot stuff for a while until you got bored.
Pew, pew, pew. More pew, pew.
Unlike the PC version, you have to go to a safe house to save. PC version, you can save on the spot exactly where you are. The game is very different from Far Cry. If you've not played the first one...
Is it?
No matter. You don't need to play the first one.
Is it really different?
It's no sequel.
But is the gameplay different?
Because
I didn't really think gameplay in Far Cry was that good, to be honest.
I quite like this. The other one, I felt like you were just walking around a jungle and then someone would jump out and you shoot them. This, you're going along and all of a sudden you can see a jeep driving in the distance. You're like, shit, so you get off the road, jump out the jeep, get out the sniper rifle, sit in the bush and just wait for the guy to come around and sometimes you hit him, sometimes you miss, and the jeep will come right up towards you and, you know, pop a couple of grenades at the windshield and the whole thing will explode. The fire engine for this is absolutely amazing.
There's a fire engine? Cool.
Not that type of fire engine. A computer graphic engine for creating fire. So you can start bushfires and the wind will blow it around. And you can actually either completely cut yourself off to the point you're going to die painfully.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
Destructible environments in Red Faction. A silly feature which, you know, sounds good but doesn't really add anything.
One of the other good things about it is it's like I was playing it at night time, threw this petrol bomb over this rock, set fire, and
it bounced off the rock and landed on my head.
So the guy's actually thinking I'm over by the fire, and he stood there, and I sneak out by the rock, shoot him in the back of the head.
What kind of stupid AI would think somebody, you know, they're under attack, so you must be where the fire is? What, are you going to set yourself on fire and run out there?
He was looking at the fire. They just kind of like, what the hell's going on? It distracted them. One other good thing you could do is make up these mock-up things where you get like the missile from an RPG and you attach it to a magnetic plate with some C4 sort of stuff, and you can go sneak into somewhere and you've got to, like, you can put it on their jeep because you want to steal a jeep. So you put it on one jeep, jump on, drive away, and as they're chasing you, can just click, blow it up. You can only carry up to 4 weapons. One of them I don't even think you can change, which is the machete, which you can use for close quarters and also for getting bush out the way, so you can chop down trees if they're really in your way, sort of thing. Not big chunking trees, but, you know.
Can't you just shoot them?
No, you don't. It's not like Crysis where you've got a big gun and you just blow the crap out of stuff. If I got a big machine gun, which I can't afford yet, then probably I can shoot the trees down. But it's got a really system for the D-pad. So up is machete, to the right is some sort of pistol or the bomb device if you have that. To the left is kind of like machine guns, sniper rifles, stuff like that. And then the bottom one I've got at the moment, a flamethrower, which I can set people fire.
Flamethrower?
Yeah.
Dude, that's so old school.
It is quite old and rusty, and it does jam now and again. That's the other thing, is if you can pick weapons up off people, so you're running out of ammo, you pick a weapon up, you might get this really crappy, rusty gun that no one's cleaned. So you're shooting away, and all of a sudden, it'll start jamming, and the guy will start yanking on it, and you've got to tap a button to really yank the gun back to unlock it. And then you can carry on shooting, or you just go pick up another one. You can go to these gun sellers and pick up guns, and you buy the guns, and that's your better quality stuff. And you do missions for them, and so they'll say, a competitor's got a shipment coming in, you need to take him out, which is quite fun, because you can just go find yourself a nice little rock with a sniper rifle, and you have to head shoot all the Jeep drivers. So their compadre in the back with the machine gun has to get out, then shoot the guy that's got the big truck with the arms in, kill everybody with a machine gun, and then toss a couple of grenades in the truck and blow it to sky high, and that unlocks a few more weapons and stuff. And you can upgrade like your clothing and stuff, so you've got
upgrade your clothing what to this year's model,
so you'll have more pouches for grenades, one of those things that go around with more shotgun shells, so if you've got a shotgun you can carry more ammo and stuff like that. So it's all upgrade and upgrades for vehicles and things like that. It's still the same where you've got, like, I remember seeing a hang glider in a video somewhere, so it's probably somewhat later on. There is an airport around. Jeeps, you can jump in proper real Jeep Wranglers or Jeep Cherokees, so if you nick someone's posh Jeep, you can have that. Otherwise, it's a real chuggy Jeep sort of thing. When you push select, you bring up a map with a GPS system, so you'll have to look at the map. But instead of, like, the game is paused, you must look. The game doesn't pause when you look at the map. You just look over the top of the map. But when you walk, the map goes down, and then you can look at the map and then keep on walking as you're going along.
You press down, and your head does this.
And you can do it while you're in the Jeep. So you're trying to drive and read this map.
Pew, pew, pew. Pew, pew, pew.
You can't shoot when you got the map up, so you have to put the map back down again.
Oh, that sucks.
But when you're driving, you can bring the map up, and you look at this thing, and it's like, oh, I got to take this next turn. And you look over, shit, tree. Boom. There, and you're like, damn it. I don't have a Jeep anymore, I just wrecked it.
Damn it! Why isn't the tree on my GPS? It should be marked as a dangerous hazard. God damn it.
The health system's weird. You, like, the left trigger on the PlayStation, anyway. I don't know what controls are for the Xbox.
Probably the same.
I imagine it's swapped. I imagine the lower ones are for attacking grenade, and the upper ones are... Anyway... Basically, you heal yourself, and you have these injection things in your, like, syringe, and you heal yourself. But if it goes below...
I just had my leg blown off. I'm going to inject myself with something, which will fix it.
It goes a little bit too low, all of a sudden you'll be, like, hobbling, and you'll look down, and there's a bullet hole, so it'll just stick, like, a pair of pliers in and yank the bullet out, and blood squirts out everywhere, and he's like, or he'll wrap up his arm with a bandage, or... Gary was saying that he jumped off a cliff a bit too high, landed in some bush, and he was like, making these funny noises. So he pressed the heal button, and his hand starts shaking. He pulls it up to the camera, and he's got this bit of nail stuck straight in his hand. So he's like, and then yanks it out, and blood squirts everywhere. And he's like, and then he injects himself. And then
I'll tell you what, dude, this game is actually sounding quite interesting.
When you, fair enough, it's annoying because it's only a wrench you use, but when you get a Jeep and it's like the radiator is giving what for, or it's really chugging, if you're clear and there's no one around, you can get out, open up the bonnet, and he gets in there with a wrench and starts tightening up the radiator and starts playing around with stuff, and then he puts it down and the vehicle is...
All this stuff sounds really good, but is it really gimmicky? And is it something that I will say after 2 hours, I can't be bothered in goofing around with my stupid Jeep?
It's not gimmicky because you're too busy trying to either get away from a patrol, you bump into guard posts by accident, you're too busy going, oh, I'm on my Jeep, da-la-la-la-la-la-la, and all of a sudden, you come around this corner and you've just driven...
Off a cliff!
50 miles an hour straight into these two shacks that have got mounted machine guns on sacks aimed at you, and the guys are just going nuts, and you know that as soon as you go past them, they're just going to shoot you in the back, so you have to quickly... You jump out of the Jeep, hoping that it doesn't drive into something too bad. Let it roll into the bush. Get into the gun turret, swing round, and just start bluttering at people. Or you just drive like crazy and end up having a massive car chase for a while. And if you're not lucky enough, if they keep following you, you might bump into the next guard post, and you've got three Jeeps hammering you with machine gun fire because you're a man by yourself, so you've got no one manning your gun turret, so you just get obliterated. So you've got to work your way through. They do this bus service where you can actually get in the bus and you can pretend to be a normal person, and they won't think, because you're fully armed to the teeth, they'll just shoot at you because you're just there. So you can find yourself stuck in a bad situation. So they have these buses, so you're not spending all this time, drive a little way, shoot guard post, drive a little way, shoot a patrol. You know, after a while, that will get a little bit annoying. So if you've got to get across map, you can get a bus and it'll take you across map. But when you get there, it was lunchtime. Oh, sun's setting now. You can go to a safe house. And some of them you can unlock. So there are other people who are using the safe house. So you go and kill them all and it now belongs to you, sort of thing. And you go in there and you can click on the bed and it brings up your watch and you can set an alarm. And then it will show you a pitch. The camera will sit outside and show every time lapsing the sun setting or sun rising, and then you'll get up and then you go back out again. There's a buddy system. You make friends. And
hi, friend. And will you be my friend?
If you go talk to them, they'll say, "Oh yeah, I'll help. I'll cover your back if you need help." And just as you're about to die, you'll get like,
just as you're about to die, you see your life flash before your eyes and you remember how fun it was being this dude on a bus.
You all of a sudden you'll see one of your friends and they'll come up and they'll grab you up, and you'll see the action of the rest of the guys who are shooting at you, and they're trying to defend you. They'll shoot you, get you around the corner, and you've got a few seconds to heal yourself back up again, but that person might get shot in the process of doing this.
Well,
and when they're dead, that's it. If they were going to give you special missions later on, that game you won't be able to play again until you start it from the beginning again. And then,
well done, you noob. You come and save me when I could have just reloaded my save game, you noob.
But as you're helping them, if you're not paying attention, you're not getting clearing the area, that person will get shot and they'll like release blue smoke and they'll like, "Help, help," and you'll come over and you're picking them up and they're like, and you've got to either use a syringe or you can leave them to die. And if you don't want to, you want to stay good.
Dude, I like the sound effects.
You know, you're like, "Oh my god, I don't want this person to die," but you're like, "I really can't, I need to complete this mission and I can't spare a syringe." You can actually pull the gun out, get your pistol, and you can blow their head off because they're dying slow, painful death. You can pull them out of the machine to shoot them. And then that's it, they'll be marked up as deceased and you won't be able to get missions from them or get them to help you when your time is needed, sort of thing. But yeah, it's...
sounds quite good then, doesn't
it? Yeah, it's lots of little gimmicky things, but they're kind of like saying, right, we're not going to base the game off this, we're just going to push them to the background, they're there to help you. The bit that is gimmicky, which is part of the game, is the whole fire system, but that is using for distraction. You know, flamethrow around the corner, fire comes out, they all come running out to see what's happening, you quickly sprint around the other corner, and you come in through the back, silence little pistol, take a few guards out, put an explosive on the side of this building, run over to the other corner, all of a sudden they turn around once the fire's gone out and see a shack just go blowing up into pieces. They'll go running over there to see what the hell's going on over there, and you can get in, take some guy out, and they never knew you were there. And as you're doing it, you walk around the corner and there's some guy there and he just screams his head off that there's an enemy, and they'll all come running, and your perfect mission just blows up in your face and you've got to do it by the seat of your pants, which happens to me on a regular basis.
I'm not surprised.
So
my name's Adam. I'm gonna spend a half hour coming up with this really cool plan.
And then just chuck grenades at everybody and petrol bombs.
Oh no, my plan went wrong.
But yeah, when you explode a jeep, oh my god, it will blow up and the grass will catch fire. You can find yourself pinned up against a rock face.
Did you just say when you blow up a jeep, it will blow up? Well, no, so it should.
No, but what I mean, it blows up. It's like Crisis. It really blows up.
So it should.
It properly explodes and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm quite impressed with this. And I imagine,
is there a demo for PC?
I don't know about PC. There's no demos as far as I can see for Xbox or PlayStation 3. So it's
they'll probably release a demo at some point.
Yeah, was there a demo of Crysis ever released?
I don't know about Crysis, but it was for Far Cry.
Yeah,
there was a demo of Crysis because I downloaded it, didn't I?
Yeah. So I would say that you probably would quite like this.
Out of five? Should we just say four and be done with it?
Say four. I've played amazing games. But yeah, I've reason why I would say I am really liking it was when I got Star Wars, I was a bit disappointed. It was one of those games where I was like, I'll just go play WoW. This, I have just... all I've been doing is playing this game. I just keep picking it up and playing more of it because you're playing the game while you're trying to get to a mission. It's not like the mission is, you just keep going this direction. You can't go there. No, sorry. You can look at that mountain over there, but you can't walk over to it. You've got to go this way and go over this hill and then shoot these people. you choose which way you want to go. If you want to spend the entire time walking in the desert, and you'll start seeing the vision goes a bit blurry with the heat and stuff like that. The other cool thing is, beginning of the game, you unfortunately catch malaria. So you sometimes have fits and you'll start getting a sweat on and you can't see anything and you can't even shoot straight. So you have to keep doing deals with this guy who's a priest in this church and helping him with the underground resistance, because he'll give you malaria tablets. And if you don't, the game gets even harder to play, because you'll just pass out from time to time and the guys will just shoot you on the floor. So there's some weird mechanics been put into it that is very different. And for the first time, it's weird for the fact it is a 50 kilometer squared sandbox first-person shooter. If you want to go over to this place that you shouldn't be going to until later on, you can do if you want. And the idea of the game is you've got these two factions fighting each other, and you're basically a gun for hire for either of them doing missions, and you play them off each other. That is not the game. The idea is there's a guy, he's called the Jackal, he's an arms dealer, and he's supporting arms for both of these factions that has torn this country to pieces with war. There are barely any civilians.
What country is this set in?
It's somewhere in Africa. They weren't being very specific, or I wasn't paying attention when I was playing the game. But one of the great things about it is the aim of the game is to kill him. And you meet him at the beginning, and he's kind of like, yeah, you're a waste of space, you can't kill me. And just throws the gun on the ground because you've got malaria, and you're like, you're spinning out, you try and get up and you just keep falling down. And he's like, yeah.
What?
So he walks off thinking,
what a stupid game. You meet the guy you're supposed to kill right at the beginning when you can't kill him.
Yeah.
Despite the fact it's just one guy.
So you basically, the aim of the game is you were sent there to kill him. So you just keep going through until you get to kill him. So, yeah.
Well, if you just kill everything, then you might sort it.
On average, hardcoring it is around about 30 hours of gameplay there. But that's not...
Of course, 10 hours of that is goofing around with your Jeep.
Yeah.
5 hours of that is taking bullets out of your legs.
If you keep talking to the buddies and with the friends, like I was talking to one of them, you get a mission. They will actually call you up on your mobile and give you an alternative thing to do. So it's kind of like you needed to help these people to get these guns. If you want to, you can go kill someone else and destroy these guns. And the guy will not be pissed off, because he'll just think that coincidence has happened and things like that. But you can play them against each other and really change the way things are. It comes up on your book. You have this like tatty book of all your details of who you're after and stuff like that, and a map and things. And it says in there that as far as people are concerned, you're a walking corpse with a gun, because they can see you've got malaria the way that you look on your face. And no one thinks of anything of you. But as your reputation goes up, you'll get to the point where people will start recognizing you, and certain one or other or both factions will want your head or whatever. And the game will play differently as you choose different missions and stuff. So, yeah, I'm quite impressed. I would say definitely give it a go.
Damn it.
It's a bare bones game. You know, you've got these really tatty guns and stuff like that. But there's loads and loads of good guns to start unlocking. I'm waiting for this really nice sniper rifle. I've just got this nice silenced gun, so I can go in with my older sniper rifle and just head shoot a few people so they don't know I'm there, and then take people out in distance with a sniper rifle. You get RPGs and stuff, because the flamethrower is one of the guns you get at the beginning, which is like a crappy second-hand gun, because you just get loads of hand-me-down guns until you go buy some from the shop, and not got enough money to buy anything to replace the bottom part of the D-pad, which has got the flamethrower. So I want like an RPG, so if I'm getting chased and I really can't survive another encampment with a Jeep coming for me with a massive big gun turreted machine gun mounted on the back of the Jeep, RPG right at the front grill, blow him to kingdom come. But
right at the front grill, the grenade explodes, the Jeep carries on coming
minus the front of it. But yeah, plenty of patrols, plenty of
I would aim under the Jeep personally.
Yeah, blow it up in the sky. You don't have to worry about the whole being in the middle of nowhere and constantly driving. The amount of times you'll just come head on to a patrol and you're like, oh my god, and you're so busy trying to think, right, I'm driving along, I've got to get from here to there, I follow these signposts, la 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 la, shit, I just bumped into someone I shouldn't have. But now and again, you're like, you look at the map and you can look into a more detailed page of the map and you'll see a guard post coming up and you're kind of like, yeah, I'm bored, I can't be asked to wait to get this mission. Let's pull over, I'll dump this Jeep, and I'm going to crouch down, go through the bush, and you just take them out and steal one of their Jeeps. And you can get rid of some of the guard posts. Like, one of them I've blown to completely kingdom come. There was nothing left of it. When you next come back, there's still nothing left of it. Where if you just kill the people there, they'll eventually, a day later, there'll be more people just taking over that guard post again. So yeah, they've done a good job with it. And it's got nothing to do with the previous Far Cry. It's not a sequel, it's just a sequel of the idea, sort of thing. So if you've never played the first Far Cry, you're not going to gain anything by going back and thinking, oh, maybe I should play the first one before I get this one. Character-wise, with the way that they made the story, with the way that it changes as you go along, depending on what you do, there's no character to play. You basically pick one of many characters. And if you don't pick... whichever one you don't pick, the rest of them, those are the ones that will become your buddies that are already out there.
Hey, buddy, what up?
So if you play a different character, you might bump into the person you played last time as a buddy. So,
whoa, man!
So the person doesn't have a pure story, it's just a rough story of what's going on. So, yeah, I'm quite impressed with it.
Okay, cool. Well, let's see if there's a demo.
But, yeah, if you've got a high-end PC, you know, you can get away with playing Crysis pretty high up. I would definitely say go get this on the PC. It's cheaper. Graphically, it's going to look absolutely amazing, especially the fire looks amazing. Especially the fact that because it's the same engine thing as Crysis, so I think the daylight system really does put a nice element on it. I must admit, today was the first time I've actually set a large fire. I've seen little campment fires, and you get the drums where they're slightly on fire sort of thing. They look nice and ambient in the background, but I actually set a complete bushfire in the night time, and it looks lush. It really does look nice. But yeah, definitely a good game. Far Cry 2.
No, I didn't see a demo.
Didn't it say tech... something or other?
I said tech demo, but that was a link to a video.
Never mind.
Woo! Right, next up, Windows 7. Yeah. So PDC was this week just gone. So Windows Azure was announced. The whole Live Mesh Services platform was announced. Windows 7 was announced. Office 14 web apps were announced. So that's cool. So this is actually being recorded on Windows 7.
You're running Windows 7?
Yes. That's why I've not been shown any Explorer stuff. So pretty much everything has changed, although this build doesn't have the new taskbar. But the final one will have a new taskbar. Let's just...
It does. It looks like Vista, but it looks like you've done something to it. You know what I mean? Where everything's just slightly different.
Yeah, you've got themes and all that in there now. Mouse pointers. I don't think there's any new mouse pointers, but never mind. Let's go old school. So that's all new. Control panel's being reworked. Everything's basically being reworked. Mm-hmm. Like from a cosmetic point of view. Performance is quite good. Performs about the same as Windows Vista on this machine. But it hits the disk a lot less than optional update. What's that? Oh, never. Driver. So that's cool. Did you not pay attention when I opened up Calculator earlier on? Calculator refreshed. It is now the best calculator that any operating system comes with. It's got history view, so you can see all your history of what you've worked out. And you can even, go back and edit your history and change all that. So, work that out. Scientific mode like the other one does, which is cool. It's all really nice effects. The buttons have a nice office-style sort of hover. There's also things like date calculation on it. So, for example, you can enter dates and you can calculate how many days it's been since then. There's loads of features like that, like
temperature,
gas mileage, wage estimation. So the calculator is actually really epic. You can even work out pressure and everything. So yeah, new calculator. New paint.
Oh yes, the new paint.
People always think I'm weird when I say paint rocks. Well, now it actually rocks a little bit more. So it's been reworked. So you've got zoom and all this all down here. You've got the actual size of the canvas, which can be resized really easily, like that. So it's ribbon based, like Office now. So blah blah blah. It's got full screen editing. There's actually loads of preset shapes you can use, like that. And so that's cute.
I like that. That's...
It's actually quite good. Because previously, you know, whenever I took it like a screen capture, I'd save it with PaintShop. You know, I'd hit PaintShop, but this is actually quite usable because you can quickly crop images as well, which was always a bastard to do in the original Paint.
Yeah.
So that's cool. WordPad has been reworked, although I don't have the latest bits on here. The final WordPad will actually save to Word 2007 documents and the Open Document format as well. So that's cool. That's Ribbon UI as well. I know what I can show you. Windows will like automatically, if you just bring it there, you can see. So that's quite cool because you can quickly dock windows back and forth. And they don't stay that shape. When you drag them off, they go back to how they were.
Oh my god, I wish I had that at work. That would be so much easier.
Bang, bang.
Because I normally have to have two Internet Explorers open at the same time to work off two online databases plus a on-server database, which I had to put in the middle, and I end up having to just do the right-click tile horizontal, and then I go, oh my god, I had a window open I shouldn't have, so I have to minimize that window and then redo it just so that I got everything open on the same screen.
You can stack windows like that. This is all through the old school. But the thing is now, because nobody ever flipping used that stuff, did they?
No, I only used it because it makes my life much easier.
But yeah, you just drag it there, it shows you where it's going to go. You can maximize by going up there as well, or you can even if you just drag the window out to the bottom, it'll use the whole space. If you just drag it back down like that, it'll expand it to like the whole width. So, you know,
it's a nice glass look as well.
Well, yeah, it's basically just using the glass pane preview before you actually do it. It's just using it without any actual window contents. Because if you do look, it does matches. Line up with all that, yeah. So that's actually quite good. My Order G2 worked. The actual Windows, now you know what Creative like with their crap drivers. The drivers worked first time. I was like, wow. Because originally I actually got to the back of my computer and hooked it up so my onboard sound card was working. But I thought I'll just try the Order G drivers as well, and they actually worked first time. So that's good. I mean, all the applications work. I've come across no incompatibilities. There's loads of like weird, scary things like this where they've like reworked things like the Solution Center. Which is all reworked now. It's, you know, quite cool. Backup is a lot better. The new tablet features are really nice as well. I won't bother. That's why I had the Xbox Drive up here. So I blasted it onto my tablet as well.
How's the tablet handling?
Really well. It took a little bit to get used to. I did an upgrade install. So I just thought, I can't be flipping bothered to reinstall my app. So I just did an upgrade. Wasn't supported in this build. Works fine. Even the fingerprint reader, you know, would log on fine. Performance is a lot better because the tablet obviously has got a really slow hard disk, so boot up is really slow, but it's a lot better now. You've got libraries now. So this is my pictures folder, but it's actually a combination of public pictures and my own pictures. So you can quickly add another location. So if I wanted to add a location on a network, it would automatically do that for me.
That's cool. So your pictures folder doesn't actually have to have any pictures in it.
No.
You've got like this is from my camera, this is my pictures from here, I always shove these here on this drive so my girlfriend can get hold of the pictures from the holiday, this, that and the other. You could just have nothing in the pictures and you can just have links to everything.
Well, my tablet, for example, before I would use offline files to keep everything in sync, right? So it would, you know, if I was on the network, my documents were actually pointed at this computer anyway. They were mapped network locations. Now it's just a question of going to this UI and adding the place on the network, which was really good. And then you can tell it to like offline sync as well. So that's really good because, you know, especially when you've got a lot of computers, you can quickly tell it to my pictures folder is a combination of all my computers.
Now, does that mean like documents, music, pictures and all that?
Music all works the same as well.
Is that what's now on the start bar?
Yeah, if I go there, it actually
is. So music is now a music library. I think that's better because the amount of times it's like I had Vista on my old tower and I never had anything in music. I had nothing in pictures whatsoever.
Because it was all on...
Because it was on the secondary slave drive. Because I had more room there. So everything was sat on there.
Yeah, well, with Windows Vista, well, with any version of Windows, you can point the documents folder somewhere else.
Yeah.
But this allows you to have lots of documents folders all appear as one view. And, yeah. You know, you can quickly sort the information in here. You know, if
that's
I want to sort...
better organization.
For example, my pictures folder, although it's sorted by... I stack it by folders with months, so you can quickly tell it to just search by month, and it will look at all the date tags on it and stack it all by, you know, you can stack it by library locations themselves. So these pictures are all in my actual user pictures folder, and this one's the public one here. Mm-hmm. You can quickly search around. So a lot of this was usable in Windows Vista, but you do a search result and then save the search result.
Yeah.
This, you know, anyone can figure out, oh look, you know, they open it for the first time and they've got this thing called, you know, it's there on the UI, really exposed. It's exposed on the side as well. For music as well, the Windows Media music library is no longer separate. It uses the exact same library as what is actually on here. So whatever I put in my music folder will show up in Media Player. It's not because it's actually scanning that folder. It's simply because it maps the library to that. The library is no longer stored in a separate file.
That's going
to
be good for iPod people.
If Apple ever support it.
Well, no, what I mean is, you've got your iTunes folder. The way that Apple does it, everything gets shoved into the iTunes folder.
Into music/iTunes.
So you'd
which
be,
is really dumb.
But some people say, oh, I won't have it there, I'll have it somewhere else. But it means you could map that folder to there, and if you were just using iTunes to update your iPod, you could still just open up Media Player and you wouldn't have to say, go find my music. It would find it because it's mapped to it already. You wouldn't have to tell your Media Player to go find this new track because you put it onto your iPod. It would just automatically there. So you could use Media Player and never have to try and do anything. You could just put it onto iTunes, done, on my iPod. You never even have to open iTunes again until you want to put more tracks on your computer, update your iPod. But if you wanted to play them, you could play them straight off Media Player. I like that, because when I had Vista, I had to keep telling Media Player where the new songs from iTunes were and keep syncing both. I had to do one or the other. If I put them on Media Player, I had to tell iTunes where they were, and that was worse than telling Media Player where they were for iTunes. So I was forever having to drag drop files into the UI to say, please add these to the library, but that, like that.
But you know, on my tablet, for example, because it's obviously only a 60 gig drive, the music folder, it maps the music folder locally and the public music folder, but it also maps the one on the server.
Yeah.
So that all automatically shows up. Same with pictures. Well, pictures syncs back to this. Documents goes to that. Videos goes to that. So videos, for example. What have I got on here? Nothing. Let's actually add. Is this server? /videos. So we include this folder. Hit OK. Bang.
Pow.
All the videos just show up, just like they're on your local machine.
Wow.
And you know that damn bug in Explorer where you had to resize it for the actual icons to rescale? Remember?
Yeah.
This is one of the things I whinged about for a while. You actually had to like go right-click and then... Oops. You had to go to right-click, click view, and then change the view settings for it to nicely reflow the icons. That's fixed.
That's cool.
And the really cool thing is Media Player now natively supports Xvid, DivX, H.264... whatever.
Cool.
So like all these videos are
WMVs.
Yeah, but like Battlestar, they're all in Xvids. These all play natively now. Or maybe not. There we go. The sound is bad, but we'll let it off.
I've seen a picture of a Cylon at a comic book convention, and it's a guy wearing the original Cylon suit, and he's got
old school
a piece of cardboard saying, please give me a job, I've been replaced by CGI.
Oh yeah, I saw that. But what you don't see in this build is the new taskbar, because this is build 6801. The new taskbar is in build 6933. New taskbar looks like this. So it's still got preview panes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically what they've done is they've merged Quick Launch with the taskbar.
Right.
So instead of having quick launch down here, which everyone fucking had sized wrong, which irritated me like hell, because you always notice my quick launch is nicely ordered.
Yeah, I always reorder mine.
Yeah, you can, you've got it like that. So now, running applications and applications that should show up down here, you get previews as well. So, for example, he's previewing Internet Explorer there, but it shows all open tabs in Internet Explorer. And you can actually go to individual tabs within Internet Explorer from down here.
So will these still be here?
Yeah, these are actually all... I don't think any of those are actually stored there. But here's another picture. So you can still have your labels on them as well. You don't have to have just icons.
Oh, right. So they were just the icons. So they weren't the quick launch. Instead.
Yeah, you can tell it to show labels or just show the icons.
Right.
Also, like... If, for example, you've got a file copy operation, it shows the progress in the taskbar. There's a green line going across. Well, that's the new way of quickly previewing the desktop. Let's just find a video, because it looks better when it's actually been... So you've got jump lists as well. So you know you've got like recently opened files, you know, you open Word... And it shows you what things have recently been opened.
Game-wise, will everything, you know, games for Windows, everything that's previously set for Vista, they will have no problems with Windows 7?
They shouldn't do no.
In theory.
I wouldn't be surprised if Microsoft claimed 100% compatibility.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they haven't changed anything deep down in the system. It's all...
the same.
Games Explorer has been reworked. You know, you've now got your scores show up down here as well. As well as the parental controls. So you can see I've lost 3 games of Minesweeper. On, like, easy difficulty as well. World of Warcraft. Well, hey, everyone likes World of Warcraft.
Is that all the games you're running on there, then? Have you installed...
That's all that's been installed.
Oh, have you redone everything?
Yeah. So here we go. This is the video. Okay. Give you an idea. That's the new taskbar.
Okay, that's cool.
So what you, if for example you've got Word open, you can right click on Word and it will show all your recently opened documents and you can go to it straight from the taskbar. You don't have to open Word and then go into it.
So they're quick launch and they're also the taskbar.
Yeah.
So when you close Internet Explorer, that E will still stay there. But when you open...
If for example I take Internet Explorer, drag it down here, it'll make it into quick launch.
Right.
Otherwise, if I don't do that, it will just stay as running applications. Start menu's been redone as well. If you notice the top. You no longer have internet and email at the top. They're gone.
Ah.
So now it's... Which is, you know, another one of my pet peeves, because they called the web browser the internet. If they renamed it the browser, it wouldn't be so bad. But now that's gone, and it will just show your recently used applications. Search has been redone again. GamerCast. So now it expands the whole...
Instead of leaving you with the shortcut still on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's cool. You can now put videos and record a TV all in the start menu as well. Which is good.
Okay, question. While we're on the start menu...
Yep.
Is the ability to turn this off still the arrow to the right, or can you just push the off button now? I know you could change it on Vista. Is that the off button, or that is that the logout? Save session.
At the moment, this start menu uses the Vista style thing. They've just changed the look of it. Right. So by default, it will be sleep. But of course, you can change that anyway. But
yeah.
In the start menu has been redone. I don't know if you can see it in here. Oh yeah, you just saw it there. You've now got a single button, a single big button. By default, it looks like that will be shut down. But I'm going to tell them to put it back asleep, because that's how it should be done.
Because a lot of people got confused with that.
My mum didn't get this, because she doesn't know what a power icon means.
Yeah.
You know, it's like my dad. He doesn't know that a triangle is a play button. They're not the right generation to know that. So.
Yeah. Because it's... The circle with the dash in it is 1-0 on and off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's going to natively support playing Blu-ray and HD DVDs, although it does support H.264. So I need to try that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? Oh yeah, you've now got, you know, like I said, they're integrating things into here. There's your display panel now. Before that would be in a pop-up window. Now it's all nicely integrated into the control panel with DPI.
Cool.
So actually the DPI settings are now more prominent than resolution, which is good, because a lot of people would change resolution to change the size of things on screen when we've got, you know, screens with a fixed size of pixels.
Yeah.
So now you actually have to dig more for the resolution to change. But the DPI is easy to find. So that's cool.
Like that.
Oh, new fonts as well. They've done a new script font for it. And a new font. Oh, this is another thing. When you're scrolling in IE with an Explorer window, you see you get this thing up now, which shows where you are in the font, in the thing, so you can quickly see.
That's cool.
Where you are as well. So this like thing where you drag it to the side of the window, this is really for like multi, for the touch features. So if you've got like one of the HP machines with a big touch screen, you know, you don't want to be fiddling around in the corners trying to resize it with your fingers. You just want to, you know, push it over to the side and have it snap up there.
I'm sure all of this is turn on and offable sort of thing.
Maybe, I don't know, I don't really care. Gadgets now
go anywhere.
Yeah, they go anywhere, but they snap to the side of the windows as well, so you know, you actually have to push it.
So there's no sidebar anymore?
Well, there is, but it just runs, there's no actual sidebar.
Yeah.
The sidebar is the...
Because before it was, everybody put them there nice and neat and they were small, and then you could bring them out and drag them all over the place. And
Now they got rid of it.
Yeah.
So they just live everywhere. But you can, if you still want to dock them to the side, you can, and they just snap to the side.
Because I think a lot of people were just kind of like, they didn't want to make it messy. It seemed useless to be able to drag them out everywhere because they became...
But you see what I've done? I've got the weather one on here. And what I've done is I've just put the opacity at 20%.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't see it at all unless you're actually looking up there. Because it does just sort of blend out with the background. Let's see what wallpapers we've got.
Standard Vista ones.
No, they're different. These are... That's Vista, these are all new. This is my Barron's one. Oh, that's Vista.
Yeah, that's what I just looked at. I like the snow one. There you go, Ironforge.
So yeah, that's what this... Look. Tanneres, the Barons, Dunmoreau, and Loch Modan.
Yeah.
So what's that? Oh, that's the wetlands.
Yeah, it's the wetlands where the end of the lock...
Yeah, Microsoft, we know what you're up to. You're copying World of Warcraft with your wallpapers. Also got a button down here. Doesn't quite work in this build, but...
Oh, yeah, I kind of noticed that by the clock there was a separate color.
Yeah, so you click that and it just shows the desktop. In the new...
Oh, yeah, because obviously you're getting rid of that.
Yeah, but it also, when you hover... It doesn't work in this build yet, but when you hover over that, it... makes all the windows transparent so you can see through them before you click on it.
Oh, that's clever.
So where did we see that? Oh, that was from this picture here, like that. It just makes all the windows disappear.
You'll still have the flow thing where everything goes...
Yeah, that's still in there. New XPS viewer as well. Oh, the PowerShell. We've now got PowerShell in here as well, so you don't have to download it separately anymore. Which is a souped-up, epic version of the command prompt.
Right.
Epic win. It's also got the graphical command prompt as well, which is, like, really hardcore.
Cool.
So, yeah, backup's been redone. So before in backup, you couldn't... With the old NT backup, it was really complicated, and you could specify individual files and folders and all that. But the Vista backup, you couldn't. It would just back up file types. But now you've got much more control over. Let's just say we want to stick it there. Mm. You know, you can really dig in and exclude folders or choose system files or do a complete system image and all that. UAC's been reworked. Let me see if I can find the UAC thing. Although UAC is actually slightly broken in this build. It doesn't do everything what it's supposed to. Yeah, you've now got the slider thing to control UAC. So that will work like Vista. That will notify you when applications want to change, but your actual Windows settings will all work. That's similar again. And that's just go away completely. But it will still, UAC will remain on so applications run a standard user. So yeah, you notice when I actually click on like shielded icons, because I'm in the control panel and these are all Windows features, it doesn't ask for a prompt. Oh, you now got this as well. In control panel, so you can quickly find things.
So you can go control panel and it just show you everything in a list.
Yep.
That's cool. No, it looks like they've... I think the problem was they came out with this whole wow. But...
The performance index has also increased. My graphics card is now 7.9. In your face, everyone. Well, in Vista, it was similar to Windows 2000. It was doing all the, you know, ripping out the audio stack, replacing it, ripping out networking, replacing it, ripping out video drivers, replacing them with user mode drivers and all that. But now all that's done. So, you know, all the difficult work's been done. So they can spend their time, you know, working on other things. Device manager hasn't changed, but you do have a new sort of device manager in here.
That's cool. So everything's on like a groovy icon.
Yep. Groovy icon mode.
I imagine it'll give something really weird when it's like, I don't know what this is.
Oh, it says my computer is not working properly as well. What a shame. Resolve problems, browse files. Oh, it no longer calls hybrid Blu-ray HD DVD drives HD DVD drives. It now calls them BD-ROM drives. Yeah, BD-ROM. Damn right, I ain't calling it Blu-ray. Mobile device center isn't in there yet, which sucks. Sync center is getting pulled out and replaced with device stage. Isn't in there yet, but it's going to be like a really fancy... it's going to be sort of like the welcome center, but for devices. So you plug your Motorola piece of junk in, and it says, hi, you're a Motorola phone, and it shows like Motorola branded UI and gay stuff like that. What else? Oh yeah, so obviously a lot of the applications have been pulled out. Windows Mail gone. Photo Gallery's gone. Replaced by just a simple viewer program, and you're expected to use like the live photo applications instead. Which sort of works because they are, I mean, you know, this one is actually better than the old school thing. You've also got home groups for networking now. So a home group works similar to a work group, but it only takes 3 clicks to set it up. So even retards can set up networks now.
That's cool.
I've not set up a home group because I'm hardcore. I use work groups.
Yeah, I've set one up on my computer now so I can access my tower from Sarah's laptop and from my Mac.
But yeah, with this, it's I'll just run through it. Oh, I have actually set... Yeah, you just go to here, Networking Sharing Wizard, so that's like it was before.
Mm.
Set up a home group. You just select what you want to share. It creates a password which you put on all the computers. So yeah, it gives you a password which you put in all the computers, and then it just works. You don't have to set up like user permissions or things like that.
That's a lot more user friendly for people, especially if they've got like, you know, they've got more people are like getting with Orange and stuff like that, and again this live box shoved in because they don't know what they're doing. But more people now is becoming standard to have a modem router in the house, and you know, the girl who's doing her GCSEs, her mum and dad have bought her a laptop, so they're connected. He's got his laptop. You know, the son's maybe in a PC and he's got his tower and his computer playing first-person shooters. Everyone's networked up, and you know, it's getting to the point like when we back in the day when we were looking at Vista and we were looking at the home server from HP with the Microsoft home server stuff like what you've got. And it's getting to the point where people are being able to have this as standard. They don't have to have the knowledge that you have to make it properly.
They're making me redundant.
Yeah, but you do it hardcore, ultimate, you tweak something, you change it how you want, but these are giving them basic products.
Damn right, my computer has used fixed IP addresses. damn if I will have Sonic hand out an IP address automatically. So yeah, in Windows Vista, you basically had Sonic which looked like this, where you had to like toggle all of these things individually, and then you had to go to like your individual folders and tell it to share on the network. Oh, so yeah. It's even got, oh cool, so it's even got that controlled here as well.
Well, friend, if I was doing it on XP, I just told it to share the drive, and he went, yeah, every folder underneath, and went, yeah.
Yeah, just did a lot. So yeah, but this, you just pick what you want.
He didn't like it when I turned around and said, oh yeah, and whoever looks at this, I want them permission to delete whatever they want as well. And it was like, well, what are you doing? It's like, well, it's going to be me on the other end of the computer.
They've redone the system tray as well. So icons do not show up down here by default anymore. They all show up in this little thing which you have to click on, and then you have to actually drag them out to show on here. You just drag them back.
So the ones that keep adding and disappearing as you're doing stuff will be in that little...
Yeah, so before what would happen is if a icon was inactive, it would just get hidden after a while, but now if you install a new application, it would just be dumped in here, so it's not in your face.
That's cool, because that was always forever opening, closing, getting bigger and smaller, and you could never find anything.
Yeah, but now you've also got a new notification system, so applications would have to be written specifically for this. But if you've got Norton installed, for example, and they want to say, you need to upgrade your definitions, or you need to do a scan, or nag, 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 it'll all actually be queued up in here. It won't pop up on the screen. So then you can just like, this icon will show like a little exclamation mark. Although I hope the icon will be redone, because that one looks ugly. And then you just like, so you can see that system tune up, which isn't in this build, which is why it doesn't work, said it wanted to do a tune up, but that's it. Wireless thing's been rejigged now. So you've got a quick way of connecting to wireless networks down here. Remember before you had to go into start and then connect to, it's pretty much the same, but it's nice having it down here as well. You could still tell it to show up on the start menu as well. But yeah, this build is actually really stable.
Yeah, I must admit, you haven't had it for long. You didn't have this last time I came over.
Downloaded it Tuesday.
And I remember you being on Vista for ages, and you were constantly on different builds that were like, right, this build, we can't record the show, I'm going to have to go onto the standard XP because it's going to blow it up.
Well, yeah, I mean, considering this is a pre-beta build, this is pre-beta. This is not, you know...
This is alpha.
Yeah. It's rock solid. But there are obviously a few glitches with it, like the new taskbar in, like, the system tune-up isn't done yet, which is why it didn't work. Device stage isn't in yet.
I suppose this is like... This is what...
Well, Windows Vista... Well, even Windows XP or Windows 2000 during development, you know... When you got to release candidate stage, it was stable. You know, Windows XP release candidate was stable enough to run.
Yeah.
Although I had to wait for flipping games to be updated, because back then it was a big transition from 9X to NT, and a lot of the games broke.
Yeah.
Because they were...
And similar again, when we moved from XP to Vista, we had a big jump. The technology is jumping a lot further. They're pushing it. They're not saying, let's move slowly. It's not like when we had... Ooh, let's go from 3.1 to 95 and it looks completely different, and then we'll go to 98 and we're just going to add a little bit here, and then we're going to go to ME, and you kind of like Millennium Edition.
ME was good because everyone, you know, bashes ME because it was really unstable, which it was.
Yeah,
but it was unstable because it introduced loads of new driver models. Like the Windows driver model was introduced in Windows ME. If they didn't do it with Windows ME, XP would have had to bore the brunt of it.
Yeah, they got to run it all out of it.
Let's just try and run one of my games which I haven't installed. I know Civilization works well. I wonder how Civilization installed it. Damn, my multiple hard drives. Civilization. Firaxis. Let's just start Civ up, see if it works. Right, which one's my cracked version of that one? Okay, it doesn't work. So that's because it's not installed. World of Warcraft works, obviously. That was the first thing I got working. World of Warcraft!
I need World of Warcraft.
Well, it was Halloween week, so I had to get all that done. So World of Warcraft needed to be on there.
I think I'm level 45 now.
Congrats. 10 more levels to go, dude.
Yeah. I'm getting there, though. I mean, Searing Gorge, I've all the quests have opened up to me, so I'm just going around hardcore and all the quests. Going into the slag pit and stuff like that. I'm enjoying myself. I spent ages just looking at this place when I flew over going to Stormwind, and I'm like, finally, I'm here.
Oh, YouTube is really slow today.
Yeah, I think it actually is because I was on it earlier and it was slow for me.
So that's all Keel.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I'm not coming across any apps which don't run. My upgrade on my tablet, all the apps continue to work fine. The only thing had to be changed was home server had to be reconnected. I had to retype the password in. But other than that, yeah, it's pretty solid. I mean, this is pre-beta build. It's rock solid. No crashes. IE's crashed a couple of times. But that's, you know, that's IE for you.
Right, so next week, I will have a little bit...
This week coming up, we've got the WinHack Engineering Conference, so we'll have more funky geek stuff.
Cool. So by next week, we'll have that. We'll have a review from me of Little Big Planet.
Oh, I know what I should show you as well.
You'll have Gears as well, won't you?
Gears, maybe. I don't know if I've played it by then. But I'm doing the midnight launch, so...
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I might wait a few days before I get it.
Okay.
Just in case it's correct. But yeah, we'll be back on Sunday then, because you're not doing anything?
No.
No, okay, we're back next Sunday. Hopefully I'm still using Windows 7. Hopefully I'll have a new build. Although I probably won't. But I probably won't have a new build until January. Because that's apparently when quarter one is when the beta is supposed to start. So hopefully I'll have a new task by then. A new funky task bar with funky things.
Yeah, so that's all for this week. And we'll see you next Sunday.
Are you going to have Little Big Planet review?
Yes, I will. I'm picking it up on Wednesday. And I'm making sure I will be getting game time on that game. Because I know that I won't have my Friday to play it because I'm probably either working all day for once or I am working half day and I'm going over my mate's house to help him move house. And then in the afternoon I'm going snowboarding.
But you need a 6-hour slot for Little Big Planet.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So we'll catch everyone next week.
Catch you later.